new this morning. Okay? Because it's the first day of the new year. So I'm going to deal with stuff that's new. We had a good time Saturday on visitation yesterday. We had a full day yesterday. We're now on visitation. And we talked to Tony and Steve. I'm still not, my brain has not woke up yet. Tony and Steve, they dealt with a fella, and it was cold yesterday. And this fella stood out there without a shirt on. And they were shivering with coats on. And this guy just stands there, man, the whole time. And I said, didn't he even shiver a little bit, just quiver a couple times? No, man, he was acting like he was 80 degrees out. And they witnessed to him. And then Joe Bisco and I had an unusual experience. Over in Pike County, if you do much visiting over there, you know, you don't see too many brothers over in Pike County. You know what I'm talking about? And we went to a door, and this black fella comes to the door, and Joe said, we started talking to him, and he acted like he was going to let us witness to him, and so Joe said, you know, you're letting all your hot air out. You mind if we just step in? And you don't have to worry about that hot air. We stepped in the house, and the guy goes over. He's tired. He goes over on the couch, and so we just follow him over there. And got to looking around, two great big deer heads on the wall, man. I'll tell you what, I thought, somebody knows how to hunt. And Joe said there was a pipe in the mouth of the one deer. I didn't see that. And we started witnessing to this fella. And he went up to Smith's Chapel. And he said he had been saved, but he's not saved now. And so I tried to talk to him about that a little bit. And Joe said, is there somebody standing in the hallway there? And there was another guy. This is a white guy. And so he comes in and sits down. And so we started talking to him, and he said he went to Smith's Chapel too, and he was saved, but he's not saved now. And so a couple more minutes went by, and here comes another guy out back here. And he's putting his shirt on, and he comes over and plops right down in between the two other guys on the couch. I had three guys there. And we're witnessing away, and he never said he went to Smith's Chapel, did he, Joe? And he was the only one that confessed that he was lost and had never been saved. And so we got to witness into those guys. And I'll tell you what, the Lord moved in. And it was just like, I mean, it was a captive audience. Those guys, they were very humble. They listened to what was said. But I'll tell you one thing. When it comes to salvation, Smith Chapel is preaching heresy. Because every one of those boys said, here's how I got saved. I repented, and I confessed my sin. And I said, and that's how you got saved? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, how did you get unsaved? And they said, well, we quit doing it. I said, quit doing what? He said, well, we quit doing it. We quit going to church and quit repenting. Now, folks, that's not the way of salvation. And I asked him, I said, well, when God gives a person eternal life, when does it end? And the fellow said, well, if it's eternal life, it doesn't end. I said, well, then how can you be saved and have eternal life, and then that eternal life end? I said, if it ends, it's not eternal. And he said, well, you can turn away from God. I knew they were going to say that. I was waiting for him to say that. And I had the verses lined up to show him that even if we deny him, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And I talked to him about being sons of God. So pray for those three boys. It was Zach and Eric and Roderick. Roderick. So pray for those. And what was the guy's name? Rodney. So those are four people that we need to pray for. And, you know, there's a lot of people out here that they don't know the right way of salvation. The right way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's not a religion. It's not a church. It's not an experience per se or necessarily. It's believing something in your heart. And the thing that you need to believe in your heart is that Jesus Christ came into this world and died for you and shed His blood for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. And he has power to give unto you eternal life. And you can confess all the sins you want to confess and go to hell. And repentance is turning from something to something. If you repent and turn from your sin to the church, that's not going to save you. If you repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, that is going to save you. So, let's pray for these people in this area that some of them very deceived, believing that everything's fine when it's not going to be so fine when they die. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read verse, let me go back to verse 16. Hebrews 10, verse 16. Now, Hebrews is a controversial book. It's a book that's hard to rightly divide if you don't understand where it fits in as far as the things of the Word of God dispensationally. It's written to the Hebrews. We're Gentiles. We are not Hebrews. It's written to the Hebrews. And there's passages in here that are difficult if you don't understand that doctrinally it's going to be to the Jew in the tribulation. And but there are some things in the book of Hebrews that are applicable to the child of God today. And it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, though the veil, or through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now, I want you to notice verse 20. It says, "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." In other words, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that now, and he's saying it to the Hebrews, that now you can enter boldly into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is a new and living way. This is foreign, something foreign to the Jew. Because the Jew, when that temple was set up, that Jew, there was only certain places he could go, and he could not go into the holiest of all. He could not go into the holiest, Holy of Holies. There was only one man that could go into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. And he could only do it in a certain way. He had to do it on the Day of Atonement. He had to do it with the blood of a lamb. And he had to go in there and sprinkle the mercy seat and sprinkle that blood around there. And if he came back out, then the children of Israel realized that their sins had been atoned for as far as nationally. Their sins had been atoned for and they were okay for the next year. But the Lord says there's now a new and living way, and the veil pictures his flesh. And when that veil was rent in twain, now you can go in to the holiest of holy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to preach to you this morning about some new things. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can meet here this morning. And God, we need to meet with you. And Lord, we want your presence to be experienced here in our midst. And Father, we're nothing without Thee. We can do nothing without Thee. We have no power unless it be the power that You provide for us. We have no wisdom unless You give us wisdom from Your Word. We have no ability or skill unless, Lord, You would just put Your holy unction upon us and allow us to do the things that You want us to do. I pray now, Lord, that You would be magnified in our midst. Lord, we're thankful for You. And we want to glorify You today. Thank You for bringing us to the end of a year. And Lord, for opening this new year to us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that each person in this building today would be challenged to take this new year that is before us and use it in the right way. God, thank you for life. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And I pray, Lord, for any lost person in this building today, that God, they might see that Jesus Christ has made possible the way of salvation for them. Lord, it's not what we can do. It's not what we have done. It's not what we will do. But it's what you've done. And Lord, help us to believe that. And help us, Lord, to realize that only through Jesus Christ can we have eternal life. Now, Father, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you'd place your unction upon me, that you'd clear my mind from anything that would hinder the preaching of the Word of God, that you would loose my tongue and help me to say the things that you once said, that, Father, there would be liberty in this place to preach the Word of God to these people, and liberty in this place for these people to receive your Word. Lord, we ask that you drive out the powers of darkness and keep the devil away from us and build a hedge about us like you did with Job and just put your wall of protection around us and help us, Father, to enjoy this time and enjoy this hour and enjoy the Word of God and instruct us, Lord, and lead us and guide us. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is a new year. Regardless of how old you are or how many years you've seen come to an end, this is a new year. It's a new year because of its recent origin. It just started. It's new. This is the first day of the new year. It's a new year because it's unfamiliar. We haven't been down the path of the new year. We've all completed the old year, 2005, but it's new because it's unfamiliar. And new territory. We're launching out this year into new territory. You say, oh no, it's just going to be like every other year. I don't want my life to just be a continual string of years all the same, just like the one before and the one before and the one before. When it says new year, that means there's some new things on the horizon, and I want this to be truly a new year for me and a new year for you. A new year because it's fresh and unused. We haven't even used the first day yet of the new year. I hate it when I buy something brand new, I go to use it, and it breaks down. It's new, but it hasn't been tried, and until you try it, you don't know how it's going to go. And this is a new year. It's fresh, it's unused, it's untried. And there may be some things that unfolds to us in the new year that if we knew what was going to happen, we might shudder. And then there are also things that may unfold to us. If we knew what was going to happen, we would rejoice right now and we would jump up and down and say, hallelujah. I don't know what the new year holds. I've seen plenty of old years when it held trials and hardships and things. But I know this, God got me through every one of those things. And God will get you through those things. He's brought you to a new year. We should desire to look forward to it with enthusiasm. We ought to be excited about the new year. We ought to desire to do something for Jesus. Here's a new year where you can read your Bible through. And if you read 3 pages a day, you'll get through it in a year. If you read 10 pages a day, you'll get through it 3 times in a year. If you read 12 pages a day, you'll get through it in about 4 times a year. And you can take that Bible, and that Bible can be like a treasure chest. It's filled up with diamonds and gold and silver and riches and rare things spiritually. And you can open that treasure chest and dive into that thing and get some stuff out of there that is going to be a help to you and a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. Or you can leave it folded up and sitting on the table and just every now and then read a chapter or 2 chapters and not get too much out of it and become a spiritual midget. And by the end of the year, you won't have grown much at all. But this is a new year. Get it started out the right way. A new year to win souls. I'm thankful for the souls that were saved last year, but this is a new year, and I want to see souls saved in 2006. I would like to see more people come to know Jesus Christ than we've seen in the past year. It's a new year to see people get saved. It's a new year to be used of God. I mean, I'm thankful that maybe God used me a few times last year. I'm thankful for that. But brother, I'll tell you what, it's a new year. And as this new year approaches and is here and we go into it, I want to be used more for the Lord Jesus Christ than I was used in the past year. It's a new year to be used of God with whatever God has given you. Now the old year has ended, and with the old year has ended the failures. I mean, the failures of 2005 are in the past now. It's over and done with. Put it under the blood of Jesus and go on. Learn from them, but don't dwell on them. Some people forever want to live in the past. And the past, if you live in the past, you'll never grow. If you live in the past, you'll be dull. If you live in the past, you'll be unexciting as an individual. I mean, we need to look forward to the future. The Lord has provided us not only a new year, but my text said He has provided a new and living way. It says in verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." Now, if you're going to enjoy the new year, there's some things that have to be new in your life. And if you're going to understand what it means when it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way," then there's some things that have to be new in your life. First of all, you need to be sure that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's one thing that you need to be sure of. A new creature means that you've been born again. If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, then there's been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul, and when you ask Him to save your soul, He did something miraculous for you that no man could do, no preacher could do, no priest could do, no religion could do, and that is He took His Holy Spirit and put it inside you, and you, at that instant, became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I remember the night that happened to me. Man standing on that street corner, I remember the night that I prayed and the Holy Spirit came inside me, and people say, you know, is there a feeling connected with salvation? Well, I'll tell you the feeling that I got. The feeling that I got is I felt like I was clean. You know, it's one thing to be clean physically, but it's another thing to be clean spiritually. And sin defiles the soul. And when you've spent years sinning and sinning and sinning and defiling your soul, and all of a sudden you pray and ask Jesus to save you, and He takes all that sin away, I'll tell you what, you feel like you've never felt before. You're a new creature. Those sins are gone. Man, He's taken all your sins that you've ever committed, and He's taken them and cast them into the sea of His forgetfulness, and He remembers them no more because you've trusted in Jesus Christ and you feel clean. You know, the other way I felt innocent. I was not innocent when I got saved. But when I trusted Jesus Christ, I felt innocent. Innocent means you don't know. A little baby is innocent. He's innocent because he hasn't experienced things in life. So he's an innocent child. How would you like to be full grown and be able to feel innocent like a little newborn baby? That's exactly how I felt the night I got saved. You know, there was such a radical change that took place that I didn't understand it. I couldn't explain it, but I knew this. I never wanted to go back to where I'd been. I knew that. This guy that showed me the Bible and showed me how to be saved had to help me. Because I was gone on the path of sin to do much wickedness and much sinfulness and much harm, and I didn't want to go back to that. Help me. I said, "What am I going to do now?" And he said, "What do you mean, what are you going to do?" I said, "Where am I going to go? What am I going to do?" He said, "You come with me." And he took me with him and introduced me to a bunch of believers. And brother, I'll tell you what, I have not looked back. There's nothing back there that I miss. There's nothing back there that I long for. There's nothing back there that I want, because Jesus Christ came inside me and made me a new creature. In the year 2006, be sure that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Don't let somebody mess you up and confuse you that doesn't have any assurance themselves. You make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He says, If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when old things pass away and all things become new, there's some things that immediately will pass away from your life. But as people who are new creatures in Christ Jesus, we can take some of them old things and put them back in our life. You know, it's a good time, a good thing to do at the new year, take some of those old things that have crept back in and cast them out again and take them out and be done with them. On. Let all things become new. Not just getting rid of some things, but adding some things. Start witnessing. When I say start witnessing, every single Christian in here this morning, God gave you an opportunity to witness this year. Now, if you weren't ready for it, you know what happened? God opened the door. The Holy Spirit said, say something. He gave you an instant right there where you could have spoke up for the Lord and you didn't do it. And the person walked away. The door was wide open. The person walked away and you walked away. And all of a sudden, something said to you, and that something was the Holy Spirit. You missed it. I just gave you a chance to witness and you missed it. Every single one of us experiences that. And you know, you come to the place where God opens that door and you don't take advantage of it, and He opens it and you don't take advantage of it, pretty soon you find out you're praying that God will open the door because He's not opening it anymore. Be ready to witness. How many people have you witnessed to last year? When I say be ready to witness, if you don't know how to witness and you don't know what witnessing is all about and you want to, you come on visitation. I'll guarantee you we'll pair you up with somebody that will show you how to witness. All you have to do is just come along. We'll show you how to do it. You know, when I solo somebody, when I'm flying with somebody and I solo them in the plane, I get out of that plane, I'm hoping and praying, I'm more nervous than they are. And I say, now you're going to do fine. I've done enough things in here with you. I've seen your reaction. I know you're going to do right. No matter what happens, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Just do exactly what I've told you to do and what I've trained you to do. And then I get out of the plane, close the door, and they taxi off, and I say, oh, God, please, Lord, don't let their mind go blank. And I can tell they've taken off, you know, and that plane's climbing. I'm thinking, that's high enough. That's high enough. Make that first turn, you know. And then all of a sudden I see them make the first turn, and they're coming into the downwind. And I'm thinking, that's about the right height. They're about the right height. Now's the time to put on the carburetor heat. And I hear the engine die a little bit. Oh, man, they remembered that. And then they reduce the power, and then they come down, and they make the landing. And I'm saying, oh, you're too high. You're too high. I pull the power back a little bit, you know. And then they start coming down. I'm talking the whole time, man. I'm talking and praying both at the same time. And finally they get down, and poof. They put that plane on the ground. I say, whew, thank you, God. That's the first one. That's the hardest one. After that, they usually make a few bad ones, but they recover okay. And then if a period of time has gone by and they haven't soloed, they haven't been flying by themselves, you know what I do? I get in the plane with them again. And I go up with them and I make sure that they're thinking right. And they're not watching the farmer down in the field plowing. Or they're not distracted by the radio. That they're concentrating on flying that airplane. And once I know that they're concentrating on it, I get out again. And I say, okay, you got it. You've done it before. You can do it again. Everything's going to be fine. It's been a while. We've knocked off the rust. Go ahead and do it. You know, witnessing is the same way. We're not going to send you out solo without training you. We're not going to send you out solo and you get in a mess without anybody to help you out. And if it's been a long time since you've been out, and you're not exactly sure whether you can remember all the verses, don't worry about it. We'll go with you. And we'll show you how to do it. And we'll get you back in the routine of doing it again, so that you can go out there and fly solo and be ready to witness to someone when God opens the door of opportunity. This is a new year. And the new year, make sure that you add some things. Start witnessing. Start carrying some tracts. Take your New Testament. Take your New Testament with you. When I first got saved, my New Testament was a blessing. I had a great big old wide margin Oxford Bible. Great big thing. I didn't carry that. Now, Nathan did. I probably should have. Nathan now carries one under each arm, you know, interleafed and everything else. But I carried my New Testament. I had a little Gideon New Testament, and I carried it around in my pocket. But when I sat down, I read the New Testament. Now, I had a Bible reading routine, but I'm talking about during the day when I found myself at a place where I had to wait for 15 or 20 minutes. Man, I'd whip out that New Testament, and I'd read it, and I'd read it, and I'd read it. And you know what that does? That keeps you in the Word. That keeps you renewing your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. Because the world's out there programming your mind every day. The things you see, the things you hear, the things someone says to you, the things that are going on in this world, it's programming your mind. You have to cleanse your mind by the Word of God, and you have to renew your mind by the Word of God. And so you have to get in that book and read it. Think about carrying your New Testament with you every place that you go this year. Start attending church on a regular basis. I mean, Sunday morning's fine. But you know, we have a number of other services here. And I think that if you're going to be a mature Christian and enjoy the Christian life, you start coming in the evenings and on Wednesday night, and you're going to get something that you don't get Sunday morning. I told Harry, we got to talking to Harry, and I said, Harry, you missed it. We had good visitation. He said, I'm not. And he says, and Dale preached last week and I missed that. I said, yeah, and it was good too, man. I just rubbed it in, you know. And when you miss, and Harry had every right to miss. There was nothing wrong with what he did. He was not just laying out. But his reaction to missing that was also right. Every time I leave, something good happens. Well, something good happens when you're here too, Harry. But other people are missing out on that. And you ought to start the new year out right. Start hanging out with some strong Christians. Let their Christianity rub off on you. If you're not militant, get around somebody that's militant. If you're one of these secret disciples, get with somebody that's not a secret disciple. Get with a maniac Christian. You can hang out with Steve. You can hang out with Harry. I'm a little more conservative now in my old age. I'm what you would call a retired maniac. I still have that tendency at times to become very maniacal for the Lord. But, you know, I control myself a little bit better than I did 20 years ago. But don't push me too far. Start hanging out with some strong Christians. Start working at your job just as a means of making a living. You see, if you fall in love with your job, you're going to fall out of love with Jesus. And an employer takes and he watches. And he says, that guy really loves his job. I'll be able to get him to do anything. And the next thing you know, you'll be doing all the things that no one else wants to do because you're anxious and you love it and you want to do it. And guess what? The day comes when you don't want to do that anymore. And the boss says, okay, I'll get somebody else. But the first chance I get, he's gone. We'll get a young person to replace him. That happens. There's people that have worked for companies and the companies have gone bankrupt and now they have no retirement. They retired. But the company went bankrupt, belly up. Now they have no check. Love Jesus. Work for Him. Go to the job to make the money you need to pay the bills, but don't fall in love with that job. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give account. Second thing, not only make sure that you're a new creature, but be sure, and I only have three things now, be sure you have a new song. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. And this is a great psalm. I got to quit saying it's one of my favorites because I say that too many times. It's a great psalm. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's the new creature. And then it says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. A new song. It's a song of praise. And we have much to praise Him for. Every time a new song is mentioned, especially in the Old Testament, it's connected with two things. Or one of two things. And sometimes both things. It's connected either with praise, or it's connected with salvation, and sometimes it's connected with both. Look in Psalm 33 and verse 1. Psalm 33 and verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery, and sing an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. That's a song of praise. It's a new song, a song of praise. Look in Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And I'm not going to run all the references that I have on this, but look in Psalm 96. It says in verse 1, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wondrous works, or His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. It's a new song, and it's a song of salvation, and it's a song of praise. One more time, Psalm 98. Psalm 98 and verse 1. It says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, and make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Man, you start looking at that new song in the Old Testament, and it's a song of praise, and it's a song of salvation, and people praising their God for the salvation that He's given unto Him, and we've got a new song to sing. Put the old song away. Let's have a new song. Let's quit thinking about the world's songs and singing the world's songs. The songs of discouragement. The songs of a jilted love. The songs of complaint. The songs of drunkenness. The songs of bitterness. Put those old songs away and come in here and sing some new songs and have a new song in your heart. Let that new song get locked in your mind. Have you ever had a song get locked in your mind and you went around all day long and it was just there, it's in your mind, it's locked in. And you know, what you need to do is lock those new songs in. And you lock those new songs in, and man, you'll be able to think on the Lord and praise the Lord and enjoy the Lord and enjoy what He's done for you. Greatest thing that ever happened to me was salvation. And after that, just multitude of blessings. 39, almost 40 years of being saved and 40 years of blessing. Blessing. Hard times, yeah, but blessing. Trials, sometimes, but blessings. Ever get loaded down real bad? Yeah, I've been loaded down real bad. But you know something? If I'd have quit and if I'd have gotten away from God's people, I'd have been done. But I didn't quit, and I didn't get away from God's people, and I stuck with them, and I stuck with the book, and I stuck with God. And you know what the Lord did? He blessed me. The hardships don't seem like anything now. They were difficult at the time, but they don't seem like anything now. But the blessings I cannot live without. Take the blessings away from me, and I'm done. The blessings of God. Put that new song in your heart and a song of praise in your mouth. And then be sure to put on the new man. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. A new creature a new song, a new man. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. It says, verse 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for ye are members one of another. It says there, put on the new man. A strange thing takes place when you get saved. You get a new man. That new man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes and dwells within. Every single one of you that's saved, you have the new man inside of you. But you know what the problem is? He didn't kick the old man out. We still got the old man. And now, God gives us a choice. He says, because you have the new man, you don't have to serve the old man. All you have to do is just renew this new man. Just keep him going. And if you keep him going, the old man's not going to give you any trouble. But if you decide to not put on the new man, and you decide to let the old man have control again, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to be a carnal Christian. You're going to be a fleshy Christian. And you're not going to be somebody that other Christians want to be around because of your fleshiness and carnality. So put on the new man. The new man is righteous and holy. Put off the old man. He's deceitful and corrupt. Put him off. It says there in verse 22 of Ephesians 4, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You say, how do I know what is the difference between the old man and the new man? Well, before you got saved, the old man was in complete charge. And the old man called the shots. Once you got saved, you got the new man in there. He wants to be in charge. But you don't let him. When the new man says, let's go to church, you say, no, I'm going to watch television. That's the old man. He wants to watch television. The new man says, let's go to church Sunday. The old man said, it's going to be a great day to fish. And so you say, well, I think I'll go fishing. Because it's going to be a great day to fish. And after all, I can get just as close to God out there on the boat as I can in the church. That's the old man talking. That's not the new man. The new man says, let's sit down and read the Bible. And the old man says, did you call so-and-so yet? You better call so-and-so. And you get over there on the phone and you call so-and-so up. And pretty soon the new man doesn't say, let's read the Bible. You see, you have to pay attention. Because the new man's going to tell you what you should do and what he wants you to do. And the old man is going to run interference on him right now. Just as soon as that new man says, let's do this, the old man will say, no, let's do that. And as a new Christian, I learned that. So you know what I did? I just made up my mind that everything that I didn't want to do, I was going to do. And everything that I did want to do, I wouldn't do. So when somebody said, let's go over and fellowship with so-and-so, and my flesh said, nah, let's not, I'd say, okay. And I just got in the habit of doing whatever I didn't want to do. Because when I didn't want to do something that was right and good and spiritual, it was the old man trying to keep me from doing it. Now you know what you need to do? 2006, put on that new man. I mean, renew that new man. Look what it says there again. It says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here's the old man. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. That's the new man. For we are members one of another. That's the new man. Be angry and sin not. That's the new man. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. That's what the new man wants to do. The old man wants it to go down on your wrath. Hold a grudge. Neither give place to the devil. New man, don't give place to the devil. The old man wants to give place to the devil. Let him that steal Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then the verse that we're going to learn, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see how easy it is to grieve the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Hold a grudge. Let the sun go down on your wrath. Give in to the devil. Lie. Steal. Do those things. And that old man is not going to be renewed. Now, we all have to make the choice. New year. Let's renew the new man. And the new man is renewed in knowledge. One more scripture. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You're to put on the new man. Put off the old man. What man is predominant in your life today? Is it the new man or is it the old man? In the year 2006, let's let the new man reign supreme in our lives and put off the old man. Get him out of the way. And when you do that, you will find the new year will be a year of blessing, a year of fulfillment, a year of service, and a year that God will do something with you that He hasn't done in the past. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we could meet here today, this first day of the new year. We're thankful that You give us many chances to start over. And Lord, certainly this new year is a chance for us to start over. Father, I pray that You might speak to someone in this building today that needs to make that new start. I pray that You'd help them. I pray, Lord, that right now You would show them the things that have hindered them in the year 2005. And Lord, show them what You want to do about those things. And help them to put them off and to put something else in its place. Lord, speak to the hearts of men and women and young people in here today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would be with any person in here that has never experienced salvation. And they're not a new creature in Christ Jesus. And old things have not passed away and all things have not become new. Lord, I pray that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior before it's too late. Before they die in their sin, before they die without God, without Christ, without hope, before they die and perish in a devil's hell that You never wanted them to go to in the first place. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would deal with them and show them that they need everlasting life. And may they turn to You and be saved today. Father, help us to get this new year started right. Help us to do it now. Deal with our hearts. Deal with our will. God, help us to determine to change some things and to make some right decisions. And may You speak to us right now about these things. And may we get it right in the year 2006. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take our hymn books and you have a song? Page 388. And the invitation is going to be this morning. Maybe somebody would like to come and